turn with me, if you would, for a short time this morning to Isaiah chapter 55. We wish to look at the words that we have in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We want to look particularly at the words, seek ye the Lord. We're wanting to look at the words, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. It's my understanding that sermon audio has been off. There's been problems, but it's now on, now streaming live on sermon audio. It's just come on. And we're wanting to look at the words that we have in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord. Prophecy of Isaiah is a wonderful prophecy because it is said, it's really the gospel in the Old Testament. You have, from chapter 40 onwards, you have the account of the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord is introduced. And that servant of the Lord is described in so many ways, right up until you come to chapter 52 and 53, where you discover that the servant of the Lord is not only the servant of the Lord, he is the suffering servant of the Lord. You look at chapter 53 and you have there an individual, not Israel, because Israel never suffers for the sake of anyone else. She suffers for her own sins. You have there the suffering servant. You have the cross set before you in all its fullness, and the sufferings of the cross, and how he had bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In chapter 54, we have the great blessings that flow from the cross. Sing, ye that barn that didst not bake. Bring forth into singing and crying aloud. We will see that that's not just the Israel, but even the barren. Even the barren nations, we'll see that in a moment, even the Gentiles would now rejoice and receive the blessings of this servant. When you come to chapter 55, that is our consideration this morning, you find the great invitation that is now sent out. The great invitation that is sent out, not just to the Jews, but really to the Gentiles. The great invitation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, let him come buy and eat. Why do you spend money for that which satisfieth not? And so on. Until we come down to verse 6 when it says, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. And that's the text that we really want to look at this morning. Seek ye the Lord. And there are three things that we want to look at. Who is invited to seek the Lord? Secondly, to whom, who is it that they are to seek? And thirdly, how are they to seek him? Who is it that is to seek? Who is it that they are to seek? And how are they to seek him? Well, who is it that is here invited to seek the Lord? Well, the first thing you will notice is that, and when you read this in the Hebrew, it comes out very, very, very markedly in the Hebrew, because in verse 6, it's a universal. The ye there, seek ye, is the plural. When he says seek ye, it's a plural here that is being, it's a universal invitation that has gone out here. And really, in many respects, it's the Gentiles that the invitation is going out to, because before this, it was the children of Israel who were blessed. The invitation and the invite to seek the Lord was contained within one nation. But now we see that with the coming of Messiah, the tents of Shem, are occupied by Japheth. Now that takes you right back to Genesis chapter 9. Don't need to look there, but you know the account of Genesis chapter 9 when Noah sinned and his three sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth. and how Ham and his son Kenan, obviously, because the curse was on Kenan, because they broadcast, they seemed to be proud in the fact that their father Noah had sinned. That he was there drunken and uncovered, and they seemed to revel in this. They went out and broadcast it. Whereas Shem and Japheth went in backward and covered Noah, covered him over. They had a covering for him. And they were blessed because of that. Shem in particular, who is the one who proposed it, Shem is greatly blessed. The Lord would give a blessing unto Shem. But it wasn't just Shem that would receive a blessing. It was Japheth as well. Japheth would be enlarged. The majority of the world would be occupied by the descendants of Japheth. Shem would be blessed because the Messiah would descend from Shem. The Messiah would descend from Shem. And Shem is the Israelites, the Shemites, the Semites, descending from Shem down through to the Israelites. And the blessing of Shem would be great because they would be, her tents would be greatly blessed. The Messiah would come from Shem. But Japheth would be enlarged, and the day would come when Japheth would occupy the tents of Shem. In other words, the Gentiles would come into the great blessing that Shem had. And you see something of that in the previous chapter here in Isaiah, in the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter 54, in verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let the stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes. You see, the tent here that before was in Shem would now be enlarged to bring in the Gentiles, the descendants of Japheth, who themselves have been enlarged and occupied the greater part of the world. Eastern Europe and Europeans and parts of Asia and all that occupied by the descendants of Japheth. So the gospel would go out, the gospel invitation would go out, not just to Israel. They had rejected the Messiah. But now the invitation would go out to the Gentiles. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. The Israelites, the Judah had rejected their Messiah while he was to be found. He was found among them and they rejected him. So the call here is really going out now to the Gentiles. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. If the Jews wouldn't accept him, if the Jews reject him while he was to be found, don't you make the same mistake. Don't you reject him, but rather seek him while he may be found. So there is a wonderful universal aspect to this. Now someone might say to me, well, surely not everybody's going to be saved. It'll only be the elect that's saved. Why preach the gospel? My friend, I preach the gospel to everyone. And this invitation, seek the Lord, is set before everyone because I don't know who the elect are. I don't know who the elect are. I'm not the Lord. The invitation is sent out to every single one who will hear this service. Everyone that listens, you are commanded today to seek the Lord. There is the external call of the gospel. Or what is the outward call of the gospel? Where men are commanded to seek the Lord. And I emphasize that because once again, when you go to the Hebrew, you discover seek is an imperative. In other words, it's not a sort of invitation, take it or leave it. It's an imperative. Seek the Lord. Call upon his name. This is an imperative. This is a command that comes to seek the Lord. You might say to yourself, well, we can be in God's house or we can listen to a service and say, well, that's great. This is universal. It's for everybody else. My friend, when you go to the next verse, verse 7, you discover that it's not just universal. It's very personal. Because verse 7 now, in the Hebrew, it's in the singular. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man. You see, that is who it is that's truly to come to the Lord. It's the wicked man and the unrighteous man. This is really who this is being addressed to. It's to those. Before we would seek the Lord, we must be brought to realize that we are wicked and righteous. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners to repentance. My friend, have you today recognized that you are blind and deaf to the things of God? You're blind and deaf to... See what he says here? He says, incline your ear and come unto me, hear and your soul shall live. Man is deaf by nature. He needs to hear, he needs to listen. So here is the external, the outward call of the gospel, and that call made inward as sinners realize that they are wicked and unrighteous. My friend, has the Lord brought you to realize that you are wicked and unrighteous, and that you are in the state that you are in is a state of sin and misery? Now, that doesn't mean to say that every sinner is miserable. Not at all. Sinners are very happy in their sin, very content in their sin. And that's why they never seek the Lord, because they're seeking elsewhere for their satisfaction. And they seek elsewhere for their joy and their hope and everything that they have. They're seeking elsewhere. They're not seeking the Lord because they don't need the Lord. They are righteous in their own eyes. They are not wicked, but they're good. They're not unrighteous, but they're righteous in their own eyes. So they will never seek the Lord. They will never turn to the Lord. They will never seek after the Lord, because they don't need the Lord. They find they're seeking their happiness and everything else elsewhere. And my friend, they're finding it. That's where their joy is. That's where their delight is. That's where they find their satisfaction. This imposition that we have today, where we are isolated from all the things, the other things that we have in this world. Why are people so miserable in their isolation? It's because the things that they find delight and enjoy in are out there, and they can't go out to them. They can't enjoy the football. They can't enjoy the dances on the Friday night. They can't enjoy all these other things that they find. They can't enjoy their work, they can't enjoy their money, they can't enjoy it, whatever it is. People are isolated from the things that they really love. And that's what makes them miserable. But we're reminded in this that one day we will all be separated from these things. We will all be isolated from the things of the world. Our money, our goods, the things that we enjoy, our pleasures, our homes, our families, all these things, one day we will be separated altogether from them. And what have you got left? To the sinner that knows that he's in any state of sin and misery. You see, a man doesn't realize he's in a state of sin and misery because he's blind to these things. He's deceived. That's part and part. The deception of the heart is part and parcel of man's sin. He's in a state of sin and misery and he doesn't even know it. He's blind to it. He's deaf to it. He thinks he's righteous when the Lord here says, let the wicked man seek me. This man thinks he's righteous, but the Lord says, let the unrighteous come. You see, what a blessing it is today we come to realize that we are nothing more than sinners, hell-deserving sinners, and we are unrighteous before God. Well, that is the call, and when we realize that we are sinners and that we need to repent of our sins, then the call comes, seek ye me. Seek the Lord, while he may be found. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Ho, everyone that thirsts, thirsting for righteousness, thirsting to be right with God. Come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. So therefore, who is it that is called? Well, there is that external call to all men, as there was when Christ came to the Jews. There was that call to them and that duty of them to search diligently to find out if these things be so and to bow the knee to their Messiah. But they didn't. But there was a remnant, a Simeon, an Anna, a Nicodemus, a Joseph of Arimathea, a thief on the cross. And they recognized and they sought him and they found him. So therefore, who is it? My friend, it's the poor sinner that recognises his wretched state. My friend, have you been brought to recognise your wretched state before a holy God? Well, the second thing is then, if that's who it is that's to come, it's to whom are we to come? And again, our text says, seek ye the Lord. And the Lord is in capital letters again, so it's seek ye Yahweh, seek ye Jehovah, while he may be found. Now, how can we seek Jehovah? Is it not the case that Jehovah, his ways are unsearchable? Who can find an end and find God? Who is there that is able to see an end of God? Even within the chapter that we have here, we are told, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my word. You see, God is the creator of heaven and earth. God's ways are not man's ways. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. And his ways are beyond man's searching. Who by searching can find out God? The fact is, nobody can, because God is unsearchable in all his ways. My friend, you will spend, even the believer will spend all eternity understanding that God is really unsearchable and his ways are past our ways. Even in eternity, we will establish and know that you will never find an end of God. How then are you able to seek him? And the implication is that if God is saying to even the Gentile world, seek ye the Lord, forsake all these other gods that you have sought all these centuries, Moloch and Asherah and all these different gods that you've bowed the knee to, all these pagan gods that you have bowed the knee to down through these centuries, forsake them and now come to Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God of his people. Now the implication is that he can be found. Seek him. God is not mocking when he says this, seek ye the Lord. He's not mocking. God doesn't mock the sinner. The wretched sinner, the unrighteous man, the wicked man, the man who has come to know himself as a hell-deserving sinner. God doesn't say, seek the Lord, but you'll never really find him. I'm just mocking, I'm just leading you here, just this is going to be fun, seeing you trying to see. No. God does not mock. And God doesn't mock us today. When he says in his word, seek ye the Lord. Because he can be found. In fact, the text says that, while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So there is an invitation here to come, and it implies that God is near and God can be found. Now how can the unsearchable God be found? Well, this brings you right back to what he said in the previous chapters about the Messiah, about the Christ who has come into this world and he has made a revelation of who God is. Remember how the Lord says to Philip, Philip says, show us the Father who is God? We want to seek God. We want to know who God is. And the Lord Jesus says, Philip, have I been so long time with you that you don't know that he that has seen me has seen the Father? If you know the Son, then you know the Father, because the Father and the Son are one. The only way we can seek and know who God is by coming to the revelation that he has made of himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Without the revelation that is given to us in the Gospel, God remains a mystery. God remains one that we just simply bow down before, but we don't really know. It's just a God, a power. We really don't know who God is until we come to Jesus Christ. But the Gospel goes out now, and that's what Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, is saying here, that God has made a revelation of himself in the suffering servant. Now the Gospel goes out, seek the Lord, seek him where he may be found, call upon his name. You see, God has made this wonderful revelation of himself in the Gospel. And that's the one place that we need to seek. We can seek for God all over the place. We can try to seek for God in the world. We can seek God in the sea. We can seek to see God in the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But we will never know Yahweh in any of these places. It says, seek Yahweh. We will come to know Elohim. Elohim is the name of God that is there in Genesis 1, right down through Genesis, the creator of heaven and earth. The heavens and the earth were created by Elohim. You will come to know Elohim simply by looking at what's going on, but you will not know Yahweh. Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, and the God whom we are shown here, is the God of mercy to the poor sinner. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, there is a revelation made in the Gospel, in the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, two chapters before, which then brings the great blessings. Thy Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. Thou shalt break forth in the right hand and in the left hand. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. There's a promise there given to Isaiah that when the Messiah comes, it will burst out of one nation. It will go forth into all the ends of the earth. And it will be great blessings, because the sinner will be able to come and find mercy and pardon that they can find from none other of their gods that they had worshipped. The Gentile nations, bound to the false gods of the world, the gods that they themselves, the sticks and the stones that were the gods of their own making, they could never bring pardon. There is never assurance of pardon. It's only in the Gospel that there is assurance. Seek ye the Lord, seek the one who is merciful and has shown his mercy in the sending forth of his own beloved Son into this world. God so loved the world, that is the world, not just everybody in the world, but he so loved not only the Jews but the Gentiles, that whosoever there is in the world that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be saved. He will be saved. Now that's mercy. And that's the God that we must seek. Not the gods of our own imagination. Not the gods of our own thinking, because he says, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You need to come and you need to think the thoughts of God. And so that when the Gospel goes out, when it is preached, his word shall not return unto him void. He has a purpose. This is the God that you must come to. The God who has a purpose. And in the preaching of the word, It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And what is it that the gospel has when it's preached? It's that it will be a savour of life unto life, to the poor sinner, the wretched sinner, who seeks the Lord. It will be a savour of life unto life. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and yet let your soul delight itself in fatness. Hear, and your soul shall live. So that it's a savour of life unto life. There's a wonderful purpose in God sending out the gospel among the Gentiles, saying, seek ye the Lord. Because he has a purpose. It is that he will gather in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But it's also a savour of death unto death, because to those, and the gospel is preached, to one it will be a savour of life, but to others it will be a savour of death. My friend, is the gospel preached today a savour of life unto life unto you, or is it a savour of death unto death? Are you seeking the Lord? Is that the one to whom you are coming? Or are the gods of this world what you seek? Is it the gods of this world, the world, the flesh and the devil? That's really what you're seeking. That's where you seek your joy. That's where you seek your fulfillment. That's where you seek your happiness. That's what really fulfills you. It's the world, the flesh and the devil. And that's really what you're seeking. You're not really seeking the Lord. Oh, you might be in God's house. You might go to church. You might be under the sound of the gospel. But are you seeking the Lord? That's the important thing. Seek ye the Lord, and your soul shall live. Well then, we are told who it is that it is to come to. We are told to whom they are to come. They are to come to the one who has revealed himself in the person of the suffering servant, and that you will find mercy there. How then are we to come to the Lord? That's the important question, isn't it? You say to yourself, well, it's all very well saying, seek the Lord, seek. And it's all very well saying, seek the Lord, seek Yahweh, not just Elohim, but Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the God who has given great and precious promises to his people. But how do I seek him? How do we seek the Lord? Well, there are right ways of seeking the Lord, and there are wrong ways of seeking the Lord. But this implies that there is a right way. And the Bible tells us that first of all, we seek the Lord with all our heart. It's part of the commandment, isn't it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thy neighbour as thyself. To seek the Lord is to seek with all our heart. We need to seek the Lord. The Lord, even in the commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's not just saying that, you know, it's when you come into the presence of God. There should be no other gods before the one true and living God. And if you're going to seek the Lord today, then seek him with all your heart and with all your mind. If you're brought to recognize that you are a hell-deserving sinner, then what greater encouragement is there to flee from the wrath to come than to seek the Lord? Than to seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your mind. But how are we to seek him? Well, we are to seek him in the place where he is to be found. The Lord is to be found with his people on the Lord's day. And it's good that we are here in the Lord's day listening to God's word. That is a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege to be able to preach the word of God, and it's a great privilege when the Lord draws us that we come in and join together with God's people. It's great that we do that. It's wonderful that we do that, because we're in the place where God could bless us. Remember Thomas was absent from the upper room. He was one of God's people, but the fact is that Thomas wasn't present in the upper room the first time, and he missed the blessing. He missed that blessing because he wasn't in the place where the Lord promised to be. He promised to be with his people. And the Lord promises today to be with his people in the house of God. Wherever God's people are gathered together, Christ is to be found in the Word. We should be reading the Word. We should be students of the Word. If we're seeking the Lord, then we need to seek Him in His Word, because He tells us it's in His Word. This Word will not return void. If we are truly seeking the Lord and we are in His Word, we are under the sound of the Word, the preaching of the Word, and we are reading the Word, then the Lord has a purpose in that, and the Lord could bless that to us. So we ought to spend our time being students of the Word of God. We ought to be in His house, we ought to be under the sound of the Gospel, and we ought to be reading His Word. But my friend, to seek the Lord is even more basic than that. It's more basic than that. And Isaiah the prophet here reveals that to us, because he tells us how we're to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him. Call ye upon Him while He is near. The poor, wretched sinner is to call upon the Lord. That's what it is. It's not do X, Y, and Z. The first thing is to call upon the Lord. The poor, wretched sinner, the unrighteous man, when he first begins to seek the Lord, he comes and he calls upon Him while He is near. My friend, it's as basic as that, if you like. You're a sinner today that knows that you're a sinner. You know that you're unrighteous. You know that you're wicked. What are you going to do? My friend, do this. Call upon the name of the Lord. Go down and pray to Him that He would bless you this day. Go down and pray that the Lord would bless you with His Word and by His Spirit. That you would come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and that He would bless you. My friend, that's what you need to do. Now you say to yourself, well, I'm not used to prayer. I'm not used to prayer. I've never even been to a prayer meeting. And if I did go to the prayer meeting, I would hear people praying in the prayer meeting. And I've never prayed like that before. I've never prayed. How am I going to pray? How am I going to call? Because to call is to pray. That's what it's meaning, call. Prayer is very difficult. I've never prayed like that before, my friend. You got on the phone and you call your friend. You call a family member. You get on the phone and you call someone that you know. You want to speak to them. Or you see someone passing and you call out to them. You give them a greeting. It's great today, you know. We walk, you go out for a walk in this, when we're in homes, we're isolated, and when you're walking out, we go for a walk, you pass people, and you call over to them. Hello, nice day. You're calling on them. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, Jehovah, that's Jehovah the Father, says, you call on me. He's not there looking for a great long prayer. He's not there looking for some prayer that is perfected. He's looking for the prayer of the humble publican that was in the temple that simply said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That was his prayer. That's all he prayed. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And my friends, we are told here that He is near to hear. He can be found. And He is near to hear the cry of the plaintive sinner, the plaintive cry of the sinner that cries out. He blessed the poor publican. How did he pray? Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. He blessed the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Many times have you been in a prayer meeting and you've heard a prayer and it's just several words just like that. You see, we shouldn't be looking at how a minister prays, how an elder prays, how an experienced Christian prays, how maybe even a young inexperienced Christian prays. We should be looking at how the publican prayed. We should be looking at how the thief on the cross prayed. And they were calling upon the name of the Lord while he was near. Remember the poor man lying at the side of the road. Jesus, have mercy upon me. Four words. Jesus, have mercy upon me. That's all he said. That was his calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ as Christ passed by. Others tried to silence him, but Jesus stopped and he heard him and he blessed him. How are you going to seek the Lord today? Well, there are many means by which God uses, but the first thing is that if you are seeking the Lord today, then call ye upon him while he is near. Call upon him while you are upon a dale of mercy. Call upon him when he is near to you. Call upon him if you are brought to recognize your sinful state. I've known young men when I was young, and one would have thought that they were being led by the Lord to be blessed. And today, that day has passed. They're away. I don't even know if they go to church. One man in particular that I can think of, and he seemed to be drawn at times, but I let it pass, and I don't even think he goes to church today. Don't let that day pass. Call upon the Lord when he is near. Cry out to him for mercy. And my friend, he will have mercy, and he will abundantly pardon, because he is gracious. How do we know he's gracious? Because of the suffering servant. It's in him that you find mercy. Well then, what a wonderful encouragement there is here to the poor sinner to come and to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Seek Yahweh while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Thoughts of righteousness. Thoughts of doing good himself. No, no, no. Forsake all that. Forsake the wicked ways. Forsake your unrighteous thoughts. But let him return in humility unto the Lord. For he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we thank thee for the goodness of thy grace and thy mercy to us. We pray that thou would bless us this day and the rest of the day. We ask that thou would lead us and guide us in our thoughts, that our thoughts would be of thee. May it be that we would seek thee this day, that for those who seek thee early shall never be put to shame. Those who truly seek thee will not do so in vain, but they will knock and it shall be opened unto them. Seek and ye shall find. O Lord, may it be that we would seek and find the Lord to be gracious and merciful to us as we come in repentance. As we come confessing our sins, may it be that we would find pardon and grace and mercy for every time of need to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee that those who seek thee, they shall find thee. Those who seek thee early shall not be put to shame. O Lord, we pray that thou would bless us in the rest of this day and in the week to come. Pardon us all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will conclude singing in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, from verse 7 to verse 11. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those that do him fear and them delivereth. O taste and see that God is good, who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God his saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. And the tune is Land of Rest, Psalm 34, from verse 7 to the 11. The tune is The Land of Rest, the angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth. And there, God willing, the service this evening is at 6:30, and we hope and pray that it will go out on Zoom and on sermon audio, we hope, without any faults. And on Thursday, the prayer meeting is at 7:30 on Zoom, and we are joined then by those on sermon audio at 8 p.m. We remind you of the Monday prayer meeting, which is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. If anybody wants the details for entry to that, they can email me. But they are the same details as a fortnight ago. We're going back to the same details as there was then. These are all the intimations. They are all, God willing. We'll conclude with the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you, now and forevermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.